Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's show number 172. This week, we're going to talk about some interactions with SharePoint and Microsoft Teams. Also discussing how Microsoft trying to keep you safe by really not respecting your rules in Exchange. And then this new immersive experience in Yammer meetings. Roll it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
And I said Yammer meetings. I mean, events, I guess, is really the Yammer. We'll get to it. In fact, well, it'll be first.
Funny up, you say that, we'll Daniel. The weekend, I came across a Stephen Colbert Late Show where they were talking about Yam Jams. But what they were saying is Yam Jams. Now, that's what I call music. And I thought, well, that's kind of like a Yammer meeting, isn't it? Except they were talking about stuff to do with Thanksgiving in the US. I don't know. We'll leave it at that.
Nice. Yeah. No, you said Yam Jams. And then you said, that's what I call music. That was actually a string of CDs.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yep.
And I think they may still be doing them.
I think they're up to 60 something now.
Yeah, because the last I remember was like 33. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of them. Now that's okay. Now that we've given them free promotional, you know, for the thousands of people that listen to our audio podcast, they're now going to go out and look and buy, you know, those CDs. So I think we should get some kickbacks from that.
Some kind of kickback. That's right.
I agree.
So we help people plan for change, prevent or fix, stay informed. I had a good weekend where I helped an eldest son move house and then hosted the 21st and then continue to help the eldest son move house. My knees are sore. How about you?
Nice. Yes. My knees are not sore. However, my back is a little hurting, but no, weekend was great. And I actually turned off the computer and left it off all weekend. So that was kind of nice. Although when I did turn it on to boot it back up, it was making a weird noise. So maybe I shouldn't turn it off anymore because you know how that works. Have you ever had, I've had PCs where they work just fine and then you turn them off and then you turn them back on and they don't work anymore. So
or businesses that have servers that do the same thing and they just, no, I'm not going to turn that off again.
Right. Just leave it on. Don't turn it off. Or we don't know the password to boot in. We don't. So just leave it on. Don't turn it off. Anyway, hello, everyone. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's episode. We do have some really exciting items to cover that we have some fun ones. We have some, I think they're fun anyway. So, or we're going to at least try to make them fun. So, Daryl, how about we start with that, you know, immersive, and I'm going to use quotes because that's a foreshadowing of maybe something that you might talk about. But let's talk about the immersiveness of Yammer Live events.
Yeah, I will. Immersive, new immersive experience for Yammer Live events. For attendees, this is MC227102. Note, this is the experience for attendees. It is not the experience for the presenters, producers, organizers of a live event. They call it an immersive experience. Let's try and find out what that means. Well, first of all, today, what is it like to attend a Yammer live event? What we see when we go to the Yammer page, we have our nice big video, the conversation and chat is below that. So as you scroll down, you'll get that little hovering small window that continues to show you the live stream. And then you can have a look at the chat and you continue to have conversations. And you can scroll up and down that page. You can go to other places in Yammer and see that. But I think the point here is that that's nice that you can still see what's going on, but it's in this tiny little window, and your conversation, while it is important, it's actually more important, I think, to be able to see the details of what's going on and what's being presented. So they call this immersive because the chat is being shifted from below the video that is playing the live stream to beside the video, which is like Facebook, like YouTube. Periscope, of course, goes over the top of it. So it's coming into an industry standard. Is it immersive? No, I just say that it's there conveniently off to the side, so you can keep watching and you can keep chatting. There's one other thing though, Daniel, that's quite cool here. One feature that a organizer can do within a Yammer conversation thread or group is they can pin conversations to the top. And so you can do this within the conversation during a live event. Well, this is what you'll be able to do. You'll pin that conversation, and as you scroll down further down the conversation, it's just going to truncate so that you can still see it at the top, but it's not taking up much space. I think this is going to be an improvement. I just wouldn't call it immersive, but that's just my standard.
Yeah, and this is going to be completed by the end of this year, right? December.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I think the idea is that it's not immersive, maybe, in what we consider in this day and age of, you know, immersing yourself in the experience, whether that's and I always kind of think about it as a theme park ride, but, you know, just some kind of where it's not just I'm watching, I'm taking part in it. So yeah, I agree with you there. It is definitely a bringing it in so you can pay attention to what's going on with the video, but then also the chat. And you brought your example of what immersive would be. Yeah, I see that. So now you can't see any of us, right? You can't see.
Okay, I can hear you now, but I can't see you. But this would be immersive. Wouldn't you think so? I mean,
this is what device?
Well, it's a VR headset, so not AR, VR. I could plug it into my laptop, and I could go into one of those Microsoft immersive experiences of Windows. And for some things, maybe with Yammer, I can at least see it on a wall, and I can turn and go, oh, look, there's Yammer, and there's my conversations. But can you imagine, like, immersive Yammer? That's what immersive Yammer would be for me.
So put your Yammer pay or your Yammer live event in a SharePoint space, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to
wear that? These are so attractive, aren't they? Oh, no, I won't. It's just for this segment. Go on.
I think maybe we need to take a screenshot of that and post it, because of those that'll be on the audio podcast will be like, what is he wearing?
So what is he wearing? Don't say that. What is he wearing? What is he wearing? Stop right there. Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel, I want you to make me feel more secure about this, because I felt kind of insecure about what I just did. It's like, should I put that headset on? Now, that's really, really loose in terms of
segments. Wow, that is loose, but that's okay. I will secure you by default. How's that?
Thank you.
Yeah. So the next message is secure by default, honoring EOP/ATP detonation verdicts. This is MC226683. I will admit to you that I have, when I first read this message, I went, what? So secure by default. I understand what that means. I can get that. And then it went into honoring EOP. Okay, what's EOP? So I had to think, okay, that's Exchange Online Protection. Got it. And then slash ATP. Okay, ATP, yes, Advanced Threat Protection. Got it. Detonation. We're blowing stuff up now. Okay, great. Verdicts. So this is, we're making a decision to blow up things by honoring, I don't know. I got really confused. So let's break it down. And here, let me just tell you exactly what this means, okay? What this message is saying, they're going to get tougher on messages that Microsoft identifies as, you know what, this is high probability it's a phishing email. We're pretty sure it is, like, really high confidence. And once they get to that point, They're not going to follow any of your rules, of your safe sender rules or your anti-spam policy rules that you might have in place to design, say, any email from this domain or the sender. They're not going to honor any of that. They're still going to say, nope, we're not going to give you access to this. And in fact, not only are they not going to give you access to it, but only admins can see it. So it won't even show up in your quarantine email that you get that shows all of those emails that have been quarantined. So this is rolling out beginning of December through the end of January 2021. So this is, I think, and if you read up and if you, there's two links at the bottom here. One is secure by default in Office 365 and the other is additional information, and they go to the exact same page. So, you know, don't waste your time clicking on both of them. But this is very interesting because, and it really acknowledges that they're trying to balance the security and work, productivity, security and productivity. Trying, you know, you're trying to get your job done, but, you know, we also have to be secure in doing that. So that is what this is all about. They're just trying to balance that. So what is interesting is, you know, and one thing they said in the message right there, it said, note, adding senders and domains to an allow list is not best practice and should be considered as a legacy way of filtering. And I can, eventually I came around to, yeah, I can kind of understand that. But initially I went, wait a minute, we've been saying for, I don't know, decades that we've been telling people if you send them a mailing list, you know, a newsletter or something, you say on there, please add this email to your mm-hmm. safe senders list so you can make sure you get it. Mm-hmm. And here's Microsoft saying, no, don't do that. That's not the proper way to do this. And in fact, we're going to start ignoring it for those items that are high phishing. Now, does that mean that in the future they may start ignoring other emails or ignoring those rules for other emails that are not high phishing? Maybe. I mean, depending on how well this goes and you know, how many false positives I guess they get. But
exactly.
But anyway, so admins can see the messages, can go in and look at these messages that are high phishing. Users cannot. And they can submit, admins can submit emails that are legit to Microsoft to evaluate, to look at these emails and go, we marked it because it was a phishing because of ABC. This person's saying it's valid. So maybe we need to tweak what we're doing. And last thing I'll kind of say about this is that so it's ignoring the allow safe senders list and allow domain list. It's ignoring Outlook safe senders and ignoring your IP allow list in connection filtering is what it's doing. So if you're using those, then those may be ignored for these emails. So the way you can do this, the way you can do an exception, it kind of details on that more information link, but is that you can use what's known as transport rules or exchange mail flow rules. But what they say is this should only be done in special cases and it is not a permanent thing. It should be used temporarily. So if you're doing phishing simulations, so Microsoft has this capability, but if you're using a third party, which actually my company just did one that was a third party, then you're going to need to put it in there because Microsoft's going to flag them all anyway if you don't. If you're doing some sort of, you know, if you have a mailbox that's a security mailbox where you want to get all the emails so you can manually go in there and look at what we're getting as an organization and such. So you can look at all of the kind of the reasons why they think you might want to do this, but they highly suggest you do it temporarily, not permanently, using those transport rules. So that's fairly exciting. I think it is very adminish, but it total adminish. Is that a word? I don't know.
I can think of admonish, but
I know. But it really affects us, doesn't it, Daryl? As a user, this means that there's yet another thing that we're going to have to keep in mind about email that we might not be getting the emails, right? Hopefully false positives are low, but it, you know, we have to now check our inbox. We have to check our spam. We have to check our other inbox. We have to check our, you know, we have our focused inbox and then other, and then we have to check our quarantine email that comes to us and scan it. And now we've got to remember that there's this other place where emails can go that admins, and it's all, it's been there. This is not new, right? But it's that, you know, if we've set up this safe sender and all that, it's going to ignore them. So this again is going to start mid-December through the end of January.
Extra super safe. I do like your points you made about how other products and even Outlook allow you to create allow or disallow lists. And I was just working with that kind of factor within Microsoft Teams. So I guess it depends on what you're trying to block.
Speaking of Microsoft Teams, you know, Daryl, I would like to add a tab in Teams in my channel pointing to a SharePoint document library.
Let's try and do that now. I've got no idea what this is going to open up to, so I may have to edit it, people, but that's all right. Teams.
Which
teams,
is very teams. Interesting, and I think it is interesting. It's a good point to point out that when you go to in Teams, when you go in Teams in the browser and you type in just teams.microsoft.com, it takes you to the last thing you were at, and I don't like that, Daryl. No. I understand why maybe you would do that, but I just don't like that. So anyway, so you're adding a tab.
You just about saw the conversation, and I went very quickly past it where I was being offered millions of dollars to join Microsoft, and I said, I really can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
So we're adding a tab, and I want to add, what was it, a document library or a SharePoint something? I've got three
SharePoint
choices.
Something. You do.
Yeah. Now, just judging by old icons, we've got this thing over here. So for those on the podcast, we've got an old-looking SharePoint icon on top of a page. Maybe not that one. We have a Documents Library one, which isn't called SharePoint Documents Library, but we can tell it's for SharePoint because of the SharePoint modern icon. And then there's SharePoint all on its own. Mm-hmm. So what is this update all about? It is actually all about bringing that all together under that one SharePoint tab. I will just describe this as we, you know, try and capture it for our people listening to the podcast. If I click SharePoint pages, then I can choose from pages or I can add any page from my site. If I go and choose document libraries, then I can choose document libraries on this site or any other. And I'm interested to see how this plays out, really, how functional the document library is that we add. And the other choice, which is where everything's going to come under together, is SharePoint. And we see some familiar choices there, but we've got pages and lists. So let's go back to our message and grab a bit of the detail about this. It is use SharePoint tab to add pages, lists, or document libraries to a channel in Teams, MC22278. What we saw and what I so eloquently verbally described for our podcast listeners was that we have a confusion of choices today. We have three different ways to add SharePoint stuff as a tab, document library, pages, and then something called SharePoint. The new SharePoint tab experience will combine it all under the SharePoint tab button, the last one that I showed you and talked about. It is a combination of document libraries, of pages, of lists, whether it be from the site. And that's interesting language they've got here in the message. If I just go back to it here, they call it, we've improved the SharePoint tab experience to now allow pinning of document libraries by selecting from the backing team site. Do you think that's interesting? A different way of describing the site behind the team.
Right. It's the backing. Yeah. Team site. Yeah. It is interesting.
Yeah. or providing the link to any other document library. So you can do that with document libraries. There'll be lists. It doesn't really say that you can grab a list from any site, but if it's leveraging the Microsoft lists, then that is the case. Pages, but this new experience of choosing from recommended content is interesting. It's again another AI thing coming in and saying, I see that you've been working on this content and you have access to it, and perhaps you want to pin that to SharePoint as well, to the Teams channel as well. So I do like these three choices and that they're bringing it all together. I just wonder about when you choose the any SharePoint site, particularly around document libraries.
Yeah.
Today, it's a different experience. If you use your default document library that is in your backing site behind the team, then it is actually fully integrated with the conversation experience. It's, you know, much better to use. But if you add something from another site or even create a new document library in the same team and try and add that as a tab, it's very much a windowed experience, quite siloed, and it doesn't really integrate. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail right on the head, and we don't have the answer to it. Is this just a combining of those three things, of those three tab options, which frankly is an improvement, because I don't like when you're doing training or just talking to somebody, hey, add the SharePoint tab, and they go, which I see three SharePoint logos, what am I supposed to use? So even if it's just that, this is an improvement. Now, would it be better if when you did that, adding a document library, just like you said, it's not the the shared documents, which is that first document library that's created on that site that is the backing site or the associated SharePoint site. It would be great if that was improved to where any document library that you add would have all that functionality. So I agree with you. So I don't know the answer, but I would really like it to be not just combining those three tab options, but also that functionality.
Yeah. Clarifying too, the adding of a list, it is just from your team site. They haven't updated this page, which was part of the additional information, but it is currently just pointing to lists on your site, not on any other site.
But see, I think with Microsoft Lists, this concept that, and Microsoft has said this and we've said it, Microsoft List is just a central place to kind of showcase all the lists that you have access to in SharePoint. They're just SharePoint lists.
Yeah.
And it brings additional kind of functionality and look and feel, but it's just SharePoint lists. So why couldn't we add any list? We're able to go to Microsoft Lists and see any list.
Well, from as you were saying, I just wondered about that. Why there would is we a tab use the for list lists, option?
Yeah. Right. When we have the Microsoft list, I don't know. And I feel like there's a disconnect there between those two experiences.
Well, it'd be good to compare the two and see if they are one the same or if one of them is more colorful. Yeah. I think one of them is more colorful as opposed to just teal. The detail on that, as we round that message out, that it is rolling out at the end of November, which is soonish, and should be complete by end of January 2021. Good to look forward to that one. Now, Daniel, can you introduce us to something a little more intelligent than what we just saw? Oh, that's probably not a fair comparison.
Wow,
sorry, SharePoint team. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I may be a co-host, but I am not responsible for the things that Daryl says. Next message, introducing intelligent file recommendations for Planner, MC227303. This new feature in Planner, which is rolling out. I wanted to talk about this. This is one of, and I think I'm going to talk about, maybe we're going to talk about another thing. Maybe not. But there was another announcement that was like, we're going to be rolling this out in March of 2021. I'm like, March?
Oh, yeah.
We're We're still in November and you're already telling us that's 4.5 months away. Anyway, we'll begin rolling out this feature update for Planner early January and expect to be completed by the end of January 2021. So really what this is, right now you can go into your plan in Planner and attach files, right? And you can attach files to those items in your plan. And you can also attach links to files. And so what this is going to do when you go to add a file, you're going to have those suggested attachments for you to add to your item. And actually, let me take it back. One thing I just said, I don't believe is correct. What I said was when you go to add a document, it's going to give you recommendations. I don't believe that's the case. What we're seeing here is when you're looking at your item, you're going to have recommendations at the bottom of files.
Your task card.
Yes, your task card. You're going to see those files there that Planner says, hey, these files we think pertain to this item and pertain to your plan. Do you want to add these? And there's also a see more down in the bottom right. So it's looks like it's going to show you 6 in this UI, but you can see more. I feel like, and this is something that, you know, we want to point out, is this going to actually upload this document to this item or add a link? I think it's going to add a link. It's not very clear, I don't believe, but right, Daryl, you would think it's going to be adding a link to this file, right? We don't want to create copies.
Yeah. No, we don't want to create copies. We just want to be able to work off the same file and have even just that rich, attached look experience. Mm-hmm. We do see something at the top of the screenshot describing it for the podcasters as well, that it's sort of rolled off the top of the screen and it's just above the comments feature as if a file has been added already from these suggestions. And it's interesting. It's hosted in box.com. It shows the path through, so we know it's a linked file. But will we be getting suggestions from there?
I would give you caution to say we don't know that this was a file that was suggested. This could be one of those that someone has already added as a linked file to a box file. But it will be interesting, and we're not going to talk about it this week. But there is a message that I think is going to be a little interesting when you're talking about, now I'm not talking about box here straight away, but with the ability for you to connect with content that's outside of your environment. So this message, and let me find it really quickly. I'm sorry, but it's called, and I'll let you go run out there. It's called Microsoft Graph Connectors General Availability Update. So that's MC 226678. Everybody go out and read that one if you're interested. But this is talking about connecting to things like ServiceNow, Azure Data Lake, Azure SQL, Media Wiki, and there's others. There's a link on there. Anyway, for you to be able to bring that information in. So I was reading that through the Microsoft Graph. And so I was reading that, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I got to this one and saw that link to Box. And I'm like, this is interesting. This is we're in this really cool place, I think, beginning with this area where we're bringing stuff in. We're starting to kind of see that mature, where we can index content that's outside of Microsoft 365 and then do stuff with it within Microsoft 365. I was kind of excited see that and kind of I'm not putting these together. I'm not saying that's what this is and it's kind of, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying with all these kind of, hey, we're allowing you to link to external stuff. Here's some connectors so you can bring in and build some rich experiences. I think it's a cool place. Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, but.
I mean, it's nice to see an announcement in there for Planner. And there is a second one we could just briefly talk about. So this is MC227384. Just very quickly. Okay. Fine. Now, nice to see that you can add smart backgrounds for Planner. I don't know what the smart part of it means, but you can add backgrounds. And there's one that looks like it's from the To-Do app. Daniel and I were talking about whether or not it was kind of looked a little washed out. But it is making your planner board look a little more interesting. Okay. Nice to see two planner updates. The last one for me, SharePoint site header updates, MC227307, is about simplifying a SharePoint page. Today, if we create a new SharePoint page and it's going to default to what many have sort of talked about as something that takes up a lot of space, big header image, you got to add something like a title and then you start adding your content about a third or halfway down the page. So this is going to change up the default so that the site header should be very plain, just your text. Daniel also tells me, and I think you've talked about, oh, there it is, an extended header image includes an optional background image. But you can go very minimal and not even have the text of your page, but use a image that has the text in it. That sounds interesting.
Well, and when you're, I don't know, when you're building intranets, but I've had this several times where, in fact, I've got, I'm going to be rolling out, starting a project already for building out an intranet. And one thing they're doing is they're going to name their intranet and they're running a contest internally. And part of that is going to be creating a logo that is part of the site experience. And so we're going to have this logo that probably incorporates the name of the site. Then why should we have also the name of the site? Right. So Correct. Being able to hide the title, the site title, but also, but then keep that image. I mean, I think I love that. That's probably my favorite part. Yes, I have been very much, Daryl, and I think I've said it on the show, you know, let's minimize that header because all we really need is a logo and some links, you know, to have navigation.
Yeah.
So let's minimize that space because they're taking so much space on the left and right of our page. Come on, give us some more space. So I'm loving these options, but that option specifically about being able to turn off the, and it's such a simple thing, but being able to turn off the site title can save you even more space and remove redundancy if you're, you know, using your logo for that site to convey what the site is.
Right. So you can go minimal, which is, basically very small header and your menu, compact, standard, and extended. What you're saying is that if you did want to use that header image and just get the title out of the way, then you can be really quite creative to brand it up.
Yeah, it just gives you options to do your branding of your site, trying to make it look nice. And I think that's one thing we've lost in our modern SharePoint is customizing the look and feel. I'm not complaining, but it's so this gives us a little bit of option for those marketing people or whoever communications or whoever's kind of responsible for your intranet or this could be any site. It doesn't have to be your homepage of your intranet, but to just make it look and a little snappy. And I like it.
And you know, we know also some publications on the internet use that header image for promotions as well. So it is going to offer a few more options and tidy things up. So that is targeted release, rolling out beginning early December, expected to be complete end of the year. And standard release will begin to see it early January, expected to see it complete by the end of January. Very nice. Take us home with this Indeed. Last message about teams and team sites again.
So this last message is add Microsoft Teams to your SharePoint team site, MC227312. So this is, and let me stop. The very first sentence of this message kind of threw me for a little bit. It says SharePoint group owners. SharePoint group owners. I don't even know what that is. Group owners. I know what a group owner is, a Microsoft 365 group owner, but I don't know what a SharePoint group owner is. I'm assuming this is SharePoint admins, you know, someone who owns the site in the owners group of the SharePoint site.
I think it's someone who has been working with SharePoint and Office 365 groups for a long time and has melded the two terms together.
Right. Anyway, so this is, okay, so we all know, maybe we all know, let me not make that assumption. When you have a SharePoint site, you can, what is called, teamify it, meaning you can add a team to and link the SharePoint to the SharePoint site, okay, for the group. So this is so that you can, you know, extend that collaboration and, you know, have that conversations, all those wonderful things you can do in Teams connected to that SharePoint site. What this is talking about, this item specifically, is when you are associating that team, when you go and say, I want the team app to be associated, then you're going to get presented options for selecting SharePoint content to be automatically pinned in the team as a tab. So this is, I think, a brilliant move that just makes sense. It's one of those like, wait a minute, this should have been doing this all along. I'm so glad they've done this. You've built out the SharePoint experience and you've maybe got documents and you got news, you've got whatever. I mean, you've got all these artifacts, pages, and now you're teamifying it to get all of those wonderful Teams experiences. So how about, you know, connecting them even more, bringing in those content and making it easy so I don't have to go and build out my tabs. I can just select, here are pages and lists on this site or document libraries on this site that I want to have as tabs, and then click one magic button at the bottom and it will add to Teams. So this is rolling out, targeted release, and it makes it very specific here, targeted release organization. That means there are three options for when you're selecting how you get updates. One is standard, so it's not targeted at all. There's targeted release individuals, so if for individuals that want to test functionality, but the rest of the organization is on standard. And then the third is the targeted release for the whole organization. So that's what that means. Targeted release, if you've selected that third one for the whole organization, then it'll begin rolling out early December and completed mid-January. Standard release, begin rolling out in early January and expected to be completed by early February. So I think this is really cool. Being able to, like I said, just, you know, bring in that experience of SharePoint artifacts into Teams that you're already using in SharePoint. So I'm really liking this one.
I feel like now that I look at the screenshots, and again, podcast people, take a look at these messages for yourselves. It's really quite closely related to the SharePoint tab message that we talked about. It is that same experience of recommended content, pages, lists, and document libraries, except this is as you are teamifying your SharePoint site. And I do, as you pointed out, like how it is bringing that familiarity and that look and feel so that when you go to Teams, oh, I can clearly see this is the same team site because there's some content there that I recognize.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so that kind of wraps us up today for this episode 172. Mm-hmm. And make sure, you know, if you're watching on YouTube right now and maybe you say, hey, I watch you guys and love to interact and chat, and hello everyone in chat. But I like audio podcasts, or I know people who like audio podcasts. Make sure you go to messagecenter.show, and we have all the links for you to subscribe to our audio podcast. And if you're listening on audio podcast and you know people who like to subscribe and watch YouTube videos, and or maybe there was something in this episode that you want to see, not just here, then go to the same place, messagecenter.show, and you'll get a link to our YouTube channel and you could subscribe there or just check out this video. It's really hard to say that for some reason.
Messagecenter.show, see?
Yes, see?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, thank you, everyone, for being here this week.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye-bye.